it's Cofield and Company.
What do you think about the pirate who's got flair?
I am down with the handsome pirate. Like the handsome pirate. I'm down with the handsome pirate.
The next thing now on social media, anyone who has gone out the last couple of days
just
gets blasted. I'm like, my God. Wait a second. I am wearing a shirt that says Drunky McDrunkerson.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on this. We forgot, didn't we? Wednesday, Cofield and Company.
I did that earlier today when I was signing off, actually.
Parts unknown, that other voice you hear is one John Von Tobel, who's doing shows with us and also on VSiN. So VSiN up and running the last couple of days again on 920 The Game, our sister station. We got 3 hours on the way, some really good guest spots, including checking in with another VGK player today in Nick Waugh. That's coming up in less than 30 minutes. Plenty of NFL and then plenty of other stuff. That's our header on our rundowns. Other stuff to get to on this busy Wednesday of the coronavirus lockdown. Let's do it.
It's time for The Three, presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
So what was last night like for you?
Like my personal life? Like what I did?
Just in general. I don't know. I stayed up late anyway.
Yeah.
And I happened to notice last night as I was finishing off the binge of Tiger King. We'll get to Tiger King in the 5 o'clock hour. I noticed that social media was super busy, like after 11 o'clock. Adam Hill and I joke about the fact that we're lunatics sitting on the web and scrolling through stuff for ideas and stories and feedback and, you know, correspondence and all that. But at about 11 o'clock Pacific, it kind of dies down. Like a lot of the news sources are out, you know, until people start getting up in the morning again on the East Coast. But I noticed there were a ton of people up late last night. It was a little bit weird. And then, you know, you realize, hey, everyone's out of work right now, or lots of people are out of work.
Got nothing to do.
You know, 95% of people are locked down at home, so their hours are all screwed up, and they're staying up super late.
Well, really quickly, too, so usually at night, I'm the late owl, because Isabel, my wife, works really early, usually, when she's working. She's not working right now. So as much as I enjoy my wife's company, when it gets to be like 8, 9, 10 o'clock, I'm used to being on my own, and she's still up with me.
Is it weird?
And it's kind of weird because I'm weird. Like, man, I'm used to it. And I still do whatever I want. It's kind of weird. Like, nothing's really changed in terms of what I do with my free time because she's doing whatever. But it's just something different to have, like the living room to myself, you know, doing whatever I want. But she's been up lately with me, and it's kind of – it throws my mojo off.
The schedules are all screwed up, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've had the same thing happen at home with the significant other is – every once in a while, because she goes to bed really early. She gets up super early, and I'm like, it's only 10 o'clock. You feeling okay?
Yeah. I told her last night, I was like, yeah, you know, I got to get some work done. You know, and she kind of read me, too, because I wasn't really responding. I was just on my laptop, and she's like, well, I'll just go to bed. I'm like, okay, good night.
Would you actually should be doing the opposite. Not to get sappy, but we actually should embrace this because hopefully this is over soon. But you don't really get an opportunity to just sit at home with your family, and you have a kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, enjoy the time before – I don't want to sit here and lecture you as, like, old guy, but it's like, eh, enjoy the time. Because I'm very much like that, too. I'm very regimented. I have no problem being alone most of the day, so this is different.
Yeah. No, and it's not like I don't like to spend time with her. It's just weird. You know, you're just used to being in your own space at a certain time.
But it's more time.
Yeah.
And it's different times.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I've noticed that, and the social media thing is ridiculous because – so I'm big on Reddit. I love to go on Reddit, and one of the things that has been poisoning is extremely strong and not correct, but like has been all over my timeline on Reddit has been this. Have you seen this? I guess on Twitter it's called the Solidarity at 8. At 8 p.m. every single night, there is a round of people who like to give thanks to all of the healthcare workers who
have
been
nice.
Helping us out.
That's really nice.
Yeah,
because I think they're underappreciated, especially if you're locked down and you haven't been to a hospital, you haven't tried to go for. You know, any sort of assistance. I don't think most of us realize unless we, you know, see some stories. And I've seen some horrific stories of how long these days are.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool. That's a good shout out. Although, does this break our general rule on this show of don't virtue signal?
I think it does a little bit because I feel like people are doing it to just how they usually do with things like this. Like, hey, I'm out here. I'm thinking of these people. Look at me. I'm giving thanks to all these healthcare workers. And that's about it. I will post from my couch and I'm out. And I just feel like half the time people are posting just to post, to get out there, to get a few likes, just something heartfelt up.
Well, it's good to feel good, isn't it? Yeah. It's good to feel good about yourself.
Like a lot of the times on Reddit, too, you'll actually have people, the actual healthcare worker themselves. So they'll post a picture. One of the things I've seen that's popular on Reddit is, I don't know if it's leaked out to Twitter, too, but healthcare workers posting pictures of their faces after shifts. And because they wear their goggles and their masks for so long,
it's like amazing.
It's just embedded in their skin.
There's marks across their skin.
Right. And so that's becoming more popular of actual healthcare workers doing it, which I'm totally down with. But, you know, like Joe across the street who's like, hashtag solidarity at 8. Thanks for taking care of us, bro. It's like, okay, like be thankful, but don't do it every night.
Don't overdo it. Right. Don't overdo it or John gets annoyed.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to make somewhat feeble attempts at new technology. That means going on the internets, using video.
Oh, yeah.
Feel bad for this guy. In Italy today, a post says a priest decided to live stream a mass due to COVID-19. Unfortunately, he activated the video filters by mistake. What happens when you activate the video filters?
Here's the thing. I don't believe this.
You think this is superimposed on the video?
No. I think the priest knew what he was doing.
I will attest to the fact that it can happen, and you don't realize it for a couple of seconds.
Here's the thing that I don't understand, though. For people who use filters, and I don't use filters all the time.
I don't know. I really don't know how to use filters.
Well, here's the thing. What gets me is the filters change. Usually when you're swiping, you know, you use the filters,
right.
You're on one filter, and it doesn't change.
Right.
And the thing that throws me off about this video is that it like over a span of 18 seconds, it changes continuously. And that's what I don't get. And that's
okay.
What makes me think that it's fake. Because, one, we see stuff like this all the time where you try to pass it off as real and it's really not. But if you know, and at least from what I've used it, you always get to swipe through the options of your filter. It doesn't change on its own. And that's
right.
Why,
well,
I think it's not real.
As this priest is going through the beginning of his video, there's some kind of like sparkles coming down.
He's lifting weights.
Then it looks like kind of a Star Wars like helmet pops on his head.
Yeah.
Then he's lifting weights around his head. Then, like, a Blues Brother hat comes up. He's got a rainbow headband, which is quite funny for a priest. Yeah. I can tell you I did this one time because I'm not really a big Facebook person anymore. And I was trying to Facebook Live an event, and there are just certain events you don't want to be doing filters and goofy pictures on.
Okay.
It was actually the Tony Sanchez going away
no.
press conference. And I started to roll it. I'm like, what's going on here? Like
Tony Sanchez, like big hippie glasses, as he's saying goodbye for the last time.
So I can imagine anyone who saw it for like 5 seconds is like, what is he doing, clowning at him? I'm like, I don't know how to use Facebook Live. I don't know how to use the filters. I'm old, like Father Clueless here.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, for VSIN, we're using Skype more. Oh, boy. For some of them,
yeah,
it's like teaching them algebra, man. Like, all you do is hit the green camera button. That's it.
What's the cutoff age-wise if you're going to be if you're going to smear the aged?
What, like, you should know?
Where have you noticed where if they're above a certain age, they're lost?
Like 40, like mid 40s and up. Yeah.
Bad. Man, that's not that old.
No, it's not. That's why I feel like I get annoyed. Like, the closer to your 40s you are, the more annoyed I'll get with you while I'm trying to explain something. Like, it's not that hard.
John's patience is wearing thin.
No.
It's wearing very thin. Yesterday, everyone's patience was tested with the NCAA. This is so typical NCAA. I guess the silver lining is that the story changed almost immediately, but you did see tons of headlines about Trevor Lawrence tried to raise money, COVID-19, GoFundMe, and the initial judgment from the NCAA was, this is a violation, you need to pull it down.
Of course.
Which, there's probably a good reason that it is a violation, or like there's a discussion to be had, but the NCAA has such a bad reputation, it got freaking slaughtered all day yesterday.
Yeah, and like this is, it's almost like, when I sent this in to you today to talk about, like, I felt like it's almost a tired topic because we've done this all the time with the NCAA. They just get in their own way all the time. And they see their rules and, like, we have to enforce this. This can't happen. And then we're going to get mad. And then they'll do something like this where they change their mind and, you know, you can collect the money. I just don't know what to do with it anymore. Like, you would think at some point the NCAA would look at something and be like, okay, yes, it's a violation of our rules. there's no need to say anything about this. It's clear what he's doing here. Let's just let it go. But they can't. And I just don't understand why they can't.
Yeah, the NCAA tried to clarify, saying in a statement, it did not ask Clemson to take down the GoFundMe page. The organization will continue working with its member schools to ensure athletes and those affected by the virus are supported. Quote, we support Trevor for his efforts. I wish this had continued and the NCAA dug in. Because you know what I ultimately hope for guys like Trevor Lawrence is that they tell the NCAA this last season, as he has to go out and risk, you know, life and limb for no purpose at all. I suppose some people can say, hey, he's got to rehab his stock a little bit. I don't believe that's the case. But it would have been awesome if he's like, you know what? I'm done.
Yep.
I'm done. Sorry, Dabo, but I'm done. It's time for me to be a professional. I have to ensure that I'm going to be healthy, be ready for next year's draft. Maybe I'll even challenge the NCAA in court or the NFL in court, but I'm out. This is the final straw. You J-O's.
The only problem with sending a message like that is, like, it's cool for Trevor Lawrence, right? But, yeah, like, the second-round guy, the third-round guy,
oh, no, he's,
he doesn't have an option.
No, he's a complete rarity.
Right, so it's not like, like, I don't know how powerful the message is you're sending when you're doing that. Like, yes, Trevor, you're going to be top overall pick.
So, we had some interesting discussion today about the NFL draft. I started saying about 2 weeks ago, I don't understand why it's going off on the current timeline. I mean, this one's intriguing. We're going to hear from Adam Schefter in about 8 minutes. Did you see what happened with the NHL?
No, I didn't. I know that the GMs in the NFL are a little bit at odds in terms of what they see should happen with the NFL draft and if it should go on.
Well, with the NHL,
yeah,
award show here,
mm-hmm,
it's canceled.
Ooh.
NHL draft, we'll say postponed. Both are postponed. NHL award show, postponed. NHL draft, postponed. June 18th. June 23rd.
Yeah.
2 months after the NFL draft. And we're having cancellations all over the place. The NFL right now is digging in. We heard for the first time yesterday, you know, at the highest level of NFL insiders, that they're around the league who are not happy. And this is something I pointed out a couple of weeks ago. These guys are of routine. They're being taken out of their routine. This is so important to the future of NFL teams. And, you know, if you're a good organization, how you remain on top. If you're rebuilding, think about teams that have 2 and 3 draft picks, and now they don't get to analyze like they have in years past. This is a gigantic issue. I think this is just the beginning of it. Hear from Adam Schefter on what's going on around the league as the protest has begun about having the NFL draft on schedule on April 23rd. A lot of people are not happy about it.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
And somebody had taken all of our sanitizer and all of our toilet paper out of our restrooms. Can you even imagine that?
Well, everything was fine, just as sweet as wine, but her husband went and disappeared. But then it got a little crazy, it got a little hazy, and the cops said there's something wrong.
All right, I don't think we have Joe Exotic songs coming back from break every time we return, but you're going to hear it a lot.
That's Joe Exotic. Okay.
He's great. I don't think it's really him.
That's the second I heard him sing, I was like, and obviously you'd heard him talk, there is no shot that is him singing. No way.
Hey, you know, Jim Nabors. Everyone remember him? You don't, but Gomer Pyle?
No idea.
Didn't sound like he could sing.
Pretty good?
Goofy guy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, that's no.
That's for you, Koken. Jim Nabors, shout out. Gomer Pyle. We'll get to Tiger King later on. Because I think what's happening is it's now circling back, because so many of us have flooded social media with this show is freaking awesome, that the natural inclination by a lot of people is to pump the brakes. Not that good. I don't get the big deal. Okay, go away. You don't get it. You're not cool. We are. Well, we got breaking news coming down from at least one source. Vince over at Fox 5 says that a worker at Allegiant Stadium has tested positive for the coronavirus. So this was already on tap, not this specific news, but the news of the stadium being essential and how they were going to manage these things. I don't know what they do now, but Justin Watkins is coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, so we'll talk about just what they're going to do. You know, just the whole essential, not essential thing. I think it's become a big discussion every day as people are worried about others and snitching on people. But the NFL draft and postponing it, I guess, has it's become a bit of a discussion. I think it's going to blow up here. I started talking about it 2 weeks ago. I don't get why they can't postpone it. I don't think it's right to put certain teams in a position, especially those with multiple first-round picks, this weird position where they don't get to analyze and examine the prospects like you would in previous years. So Adam Schefter was on Get Up this morning with Greenberg, and he said this is becoming an issue, and there are people around the league who are not comfortable with it, and they're trying to push back on the NFL.
Right now, the NFL seems intent upon having the draft in April, exactly on the dates it is scheduled to have them, just not in Las Vegas. The general managers are not happy because, essentially, as of today, Roger Goodell has ordered that all team facilities shut down until at least April 8th. So where are they going to be conducting the draft?
So the draft is going to be at remote locations. Will the facilities be open? Adam Schefter saying there, the team facilities have been ordered to close down until April 8th. The draft is 15 days later. Where are they actually going to draft? We already know they can't bring prospects in. I mean, if you were a GM, the funny thing is that I've had so many people fight me on this on the show, and they are folks of who are very regimented, who are very rules-oriented. This is nuts. Now teams may not have a spot to have as their headquarters.
Now, okay, so I get being a creature of habit and wanting a essential war room for your NFL draft. Like we just talked, like we had talked about when my schedule's thrown off because, you know, like if my wife's in the living room too late with me or something like that, right? So if you're thrown off by that, obviously an NFL GM is going to be thrown off by not being able to execute their NFL draft in a certain way. Having said that, I understand the argument of you're calling in picks remotely. You have all the tape you need. I don't exactly understand what's working entirely against you in making a selection in the draft.
Here's more Schefter talking about some of the issues.
The one thing we can say is the GMs don't want to have the draft when it is. They want it pushed back. The NFL wants the draft on the dates it has it and hasn't discussed moving it back.
So we got a showdown. We got a showdown. Keep going with Schefter as he talks about, you know, some of the issues, especially when you go state to state, even when the facilities could be opened again, we see that each state is handling their crisis differently.
How about having one round of the draft every...
This up again real quick. So this was the other issue with Schefter before we get to that point. State by state. So teams in California are effed. Mm-hmm. They're not getting back into their facility anytime soon.
Probably not.
Dolphins? Yeah, good. Governor of Florida is like, man, whatever. Whatever, Rona. We're not shutting down. So that's the kind of thing. Those little, like, they appear to be little differences. Wait, you get to go into your facility? And we have to do it from a friggin' hotel room? No! No. We're not buying it.
Then if you're the NFL, why don't you just mandate that everybody does it from a hotel room?
They could do that. No one can use their facilities.
Right.
But then you watch the teams that are actually booted, that are forcibly removed by the NFL, not by their states, then they're going to start raising hell.
But so here's going back to the argument, though. I would, if I'm the NFL, if I'm Roger Goodell, I would respond with, "You guys just executed free agency just fine."
Did they?
What was the hiccup?
I think we're going to find out down the road that some players were brought in that maybe weren't the wisest choices.
But that's with every free agent class.
Yeah, I think the weird physical situation would make me uncomfortable too.
Yeah,
that my doctors didn't get to look at a guy.
I mean, like Cam Newton, obviously he can't get a job because he can't get a physical.
This one's amazing. Yeah. This is another great angle from the player standpoint. How does Cam get a job?
Yeah,
there's no way you sign Cam Newton without your organization's doctor or doctors, medical experts, trainers looking at Cam Newton, and beyond that, I'm not signing him without seeing him throw in front of me.
Yeah.
That guy's cooked now.
He seems to be cooked, but at the same time, other guys who got their deals and teams who executed free agency. Like, again, you have all the resources in front of you. Almost everything you need, except for seeing a guy in person.
I think when we get more information about the intricacies of drafting and player analysis, it's going to open your eyes. I don't think we realize everything that goes into it.
I'm not making – by the way, I understand, like, if they're missing out on certain things. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Right.
But I'm not. I'm also saying, like, it's not to the point where I can't draft a class. Are you kidding me? You do have some information at your disposal.
How would you like to be a small school prospect? Don't you think they're at a disadvantage?
Well, except for that one kid, was it from Middle Tennessee, who Belichick went out to work out himself, right?
I think they're going to be at a disadvantage. Here's Schefter's idea. If the draft – well, whenever it happens, whenever the NFL draft happens, this is an idea that Adam Schefter threw out this morning.
How about having one round of the draft every night? So we have seven nights, seven rounds. Basically, it's the Hanukkah of NFL drafts. That's what you're talking about in time. And there's no rush to get through anything. It gives teams on the clock more time. It's not like coaches have to have players in mini camps. Next week, they don't. There are no mini camps. There's no off-season program. There's no other sporting events on the calendar.
He's very exasperated. He sounds like he's the NFL. And like, okay, then. Yeah. All right. We'll split it up into 7 days. Is that better?
I thought it was more of like he was selling it. Like, I got this great idea.
I think he was too.
Seven nights.
I think he was too. I think that was sort of a middle ground. Like, okay, what if we stretch it out? Then you have more time. Everything's not pressurized. What do you think of the idea from a fan and TV standpoint?
Well, I think from a fan – well, I'll say this. From the fourth round on, I don't think people really care. I mean, it's the NFL Network, I still think, if I remember correctly, has a broadcast, right, throughout the NFL draft. But other channels like ESPN just have a ticker at the bottom throughout the entire time. Like, the fourth through seventh round isn't
I think they still do. I think they still do a fourth through seven broadcast.
Well, that's – I think – NFL does for sure. I'm not sure if ESPN does. And if they do, it's on, what, like 2 or ESPN News, something like that. It's not at the forefront. And I do think – I mean, there are some psychopaths who will watch rounds 1 through 7.
Oh, I think you'd – John, I think you'd have a lot of psychopaths watching.
I mean,
we
yeah, at
may,
this point,
by,
yeah.
By the end of April, we go may still not have games. Go and at that point, we're 7 weeks in. Yeah, do I get to watch round 7? It's some kind of live sort of sporting event. Yeah, I'm in.
That's true. I bet on 2 NFL draft props this morning, and I was like kind of getting mad. I was like, why aren't there more options here?
If they posted going into round 6 and 7, if they posted more odds for round 6 and 7, like night before, yeah. Of course you would.
Yeah, I'd be in. Okay.
Mr. Irrelevant, here's 9 options.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down. Okay.
See?
You sold me.
It was that quick.
Well, here's the thing. You're the NFL. I guess the TV aspect. I just don't understand the point of stretching it out to 7 days.
Because TV's so desperate for any sort of programming.
No, I understand that. I'm saying
and back to Schefter's point. Yeah. I guess smoothing it out, stretching it out would maybe calm the fears of NFL folks who are like, we're going to be freaked out. We don't know what the hell's going on.
We're going to get 8 more hours to analyze the fourth round.
Listen, I'm not doing the drafting, but if I was. Believe me, I'm doing a fantasy draft on Friday and Saturday, and I'm freaking out.
That's
not that there's money involved.
No, but especially since that season might not start till June either.
It's the dumbest thing ever. I'm getting more and more angry by the day, and I know it's going to be an absolute disaster.
You're going to be sitting on a fantasy team for 3 months. No idea.
How many guys will go down like Thor?
Yep.
Like Syndergaard.
Like Marcus Smart.
Like half my team will get sent to AAA.
Yeah, or might have coronavirus.
Sorry, too bad.
It's an issue.
So it goes. Those are the rules. Like, and that. I mean, it's a ridiculous microcosm. But if your fantasy league, where you've got something at stake, wanted to do something like this, you'd be raising hell too. And think about what's at stake with the National Football League. We'll hear more about this in the 5 o'clock hour. Up next, though, we're going to try to track down one of the Golden Knights as we'll try to hook up with Nick Waugh.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan.
I wake up, I go to work, but every day I get someone trying to slam me down. Back in the dirt.
Yep, back in the dirt. This is our life, John. This is our life. You are a tortured millennial. Joe Exotic. Captured the essence of John Von Tobel. Crank it up.
There's no way I did.
He's a man of many talents. We won't tell you where his talents are right now. We don't want to ruin the whole deal.
So I'm actually – so have you – how much have you watched?
The whole thing.
Okay. So okay. I'm an episode and a half in, and the only thing I'm curious about is, like, where he is now. Because okay. there's so much – obviously, there's so much footage.
I'm not going to tell you.
I don't want to.
That is – I just said we were – I opened the show saying we're not going to do Tiger King until the 5 o'clock hour. That is the most amazing thing about this silly, dopey documentary is that the main character filmed everything in his life.
Yeah.
It is – like, for documentarians, like, this is the dream. Like, all of the stories are chronicled because this guy was such a egomaniac that he filmed freaking everything.
I was like, when I started watching, I was like, they were really with this guy for like 5 years? What are they doing? And then you realize, no, that was just him.
We got Choose Your Fate at 4 coming up. 4 o'clock. Here are your choices. You get to vote on what we talk about at 4 o'clock. I'm actually surprised by the results so far. Your choices. World Series on Christmas. Wait a second.
Okay.
Okay. Media rips working folks. Yes, we've seen that. We've seen those of us who have the dream jobs pointing a finger at others and saying their gigs are not essential. My God. Cofield video equals Imagine video.
Do you have to tell me what video this was? I tried to look it up for research purposes.
Okay.
I didn't know.
I'll show it to you.
Okay.
My fear was... I don't want to put out videos of Cofield behind the scenes as I speak in third person, which is annoying. Because it seems like anything you do that could be fun or worth a chuckle, you're always going to get back like, oh, must be nice. Just jerking around. I'm starving. Like, okay, okay. So I don't know if it equals the imagined video. I know you how much you hated that last week. And surprisingly right now, not doing well in the Choose Your Fate at 4 is the Jets signed Breshad Perriman. I don't know why people aren't picking up on that one. So
yeah,
I'm guessing we're not going to in Vegas. We're not going to get a chance to talk about that one. So we just mentioned Noah Syndergaard kind of in passing, right?
Yeah.
NFL draft. Well, I was actually talking about fantasy drafts. And if you're doing a baseball fantasy draft, your whole team could have coronavirus in 2 weeks, and who knows what happens, right? It's a weird deal. But anyone who was doing a league and had a date where you had to save your roster a couple weeks ago. Unless your league is forgiving, and I know many that are not, hey, Noah Syndergaard goes down with TJ. Sorry, you got him.
Yep.
You're screwed. Have you seen, it's a little bit of an uproar, but I think it's worth a discussion. Noah Syndergaard needs Tommy John surgery. The Mets come out and say, you know what, he's getting it Thursday. Did you see what happened on the internets?
Well, I would assume.
And on radio locally in New York?
I didn't, but I would assume, I mean, my initial thought was, is that sounds like an out of what's the word I'm looking for?
Elective.
Well, if it was out of hospital or whatever. But elective procedure. And you're getting in a time like this?
Right.
What are we doing? Same thing with the NBA getting tests and all that stuff. Like, why? That's important.
And we've got people around the country who can't, you know, get access to hospitals, rooms, beds, and Thor's going to go in there on, you know, 2 days' notice. And
Outpatient procedure, by the way.
Get him out. Yeah, outpatient was what you're looking for. This is elective surgery, though. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into a little VGK as the Golden Knights on break like all of us are. We're working. We're lucky to be working a little bit, but we're trapped at home. And Nick Waugh is one of those guys on the Golden Knights who's made a big splash this year, and he joins Steve and John on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. We're good. So what are you doing to pass the time? Normally you'd be completely immersed in hockey, but you got a lot of free time now. So what are you doing?
Trying to spend some time with my girlfriend. We're having a lot of time now, so we play cards, play some video games. We don't really have time during the season, so we have a little bit more time, but just some stuff at home.
Nick, what's the video game of choice? What are you playing?
I used to play Fortnite last year. Now I'm just playing NHL mostly.
Okay. Oh, do you
John,
guys,
John, what's your favorite game?
Well, I got a lot. I'm an NBA 2K kind of guy. Do you play PlayStation or Xbox? What are we talking here?
Xbox, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Only Xbox is the only choice, man. It's ridiculous. PlayStation, these nerds out there. Do you play as the Vegas Golden Knights? Like, I would assume that you play as yourself. Do you have, like, a My Career type thing where you're playing as yourself and you're just destroying things left and right?
No, I mostly play online with my friends. You have your own. Basically, that's what it is. You have your own player, and you just play with five different guys.
Are you good? I feel like NHL players have to be good at like NHL.
Not really. My friends are better than I am because I don't play as much. But time like this, I just enjoy it.
Is this something all the Knights do? Like, do some of the older Knights players or teammates actually play video games?
I'm not quite sure. I think some of them are for sure, but I don't think everybody's playing video games. But yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest.
That's Nicholas Waugh and Cofield and Company. So just so you know, Nick, we're very nosy. So I'm going to go back to the girlfriend here for a second. Mm-hmm. How long have you guys been going out?
Sorry?
How long have you been dating your girlfriend?
Oh, sorry. That's my French. I've been with her for 5 years now.
Ooh.
She's from back home, so it's been a while now.
Okay. And everything's going okay, that you're around each other a lot?
Yeah. She was done with school at Christmas time, so she's living with me since then, and it's been good so far.
Is there anything you're doing that's annoying her?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Maybe sometimes when we lose at any games, I feel like sometimes I'm too intense. I don't like to lose, so sometimes she doesn't like that.
Hey, we're here to compete, right, Nick? It's time to win. You got to tell her it's winning time.
Yeah, exactly. Any games, any play cards or ear games or whatever we play, we got to compete.
Nicholas Waugh with us with Cofield and Von Tobel. Where are you from in Canada?
My hometown is called Amos. It's like a really, really small town. It's like 30 minutes from Valbo, which is like a QHL team over there. It's a really small town.
And you still have family there?
Yeah. All my family is living there. My parents, sister, uncle, everybody's there.
So what's it like in Amos, as you said, in terms of the coronavirus? Are they shut down, or is it a little bit different right now?
Yeah, everything's shut down in Quebec for 2 weeks. Everything, all the small companies, whatever, everything's shut down. There's not much going on there, and that's fine because there's a lot of snow there right now.
Would you rather be locked down here in Vegas or back home?
Oh, easy choice here. I mean, we gotta stay mostly inside, but I guess like we can go outside to run or just walk a little bit, and the weather is way better.
Yes, no doubt. If it's snowing there, we've been a little chilly here, but chilly's all relative. I wanted to ask you about a little bit about playing in the AHL, because you logged some time in the AHL, and we're talking to Nicholas Waugh here on Cofield and Company. Tell me why it's cool for the players to actually have the AHL team here in the Vegas area. That's pretty unique, right, where basically the team is in the next town over?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good for the players, I guess. It's going to be way easier, less travel, and when you call up a guy or send out a guy, it's going to be easier for the player, less fatigue, and I guess it's going to be easier, yeah.
Yeah, how brutal was it having to go back and forth like you were doing so much and so many other players in, you know, the Knights organization? How rough is that to have to go back and forth? And, you know, sometimes you're only around Vegas for a couple of days and you go right back.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, it was kind of a tough season in that way. But, I mean, I'm sleeping good in the plane, so that helped me a lot. But no, it wasn't too bad, I guess. You're playing hockey up there, down there, so pretty much the same. But, of course, it's a little bit of fatigue, I guess.
You played in the AHL in what cities over time?
I played in Chicago, and before that I played with the Charlotte Checkers. We won the Cup last year.
I saw that. What town did you enjoy more, Chicago or Charlotte?
Tough to say. Two really nice cities, two really nice organizations. Probably Charlotte, just because I spent more time there. I was there for 2 years, and the run we did was unbelievable. But I really like to play in Chicago as well.
Nick Waugh with us. So Nick, anyone in the organization, have they been kind of keeping you in the loop on a timetable, a possible timetable, or is it a complete mystery as to when you guys might come back?
No, it's pretty tough right now. We try to stay updated through, like, phone calls and stuff like that, but I heard, like, the season was going to get pushed back for maybe, like, a month or two, but to be honest, we're not really sure.
How much time would you need in terms of a short training camp to be ready for the season? You guys couldn't go right out there on, like, 3 days' notice.
Yeah, I guess it could be pretty quick. I'm not sure how long we should discuss that, but I guess, like, maybe a week would be good. I don't know.
Well, hopefully it happens sooner than later. We appreciate a couple minutes today, Nick. Stay healthy, stay safe, and hopefully we see you on the ice here in maybe a month or so.
Yeah, same for you guys. Thank you very much.
There you go. Nick Waugh, one of the young guys brought over in the Howlett deal, and he's been pretty thrilling to watch. Big dude, as they say, the 200-foot game. Great at face-offs. I'm just regurgitating stuff I read on him. Why not, right? I can fake it. But, Nick Waugh, giving us a couple minutes here on this Wednesday. You can go up to Golden Knights on Twitter, and the organization has a ton of video content, podcast content as well. On the way back, Miles Simmons will check in from the paper, Raiders Insider, as Miles will tell us what's going on around the Raiders and sort of this overall reaction to GMs around the league pushing back on April 23rd, still being the date for the NFL draft.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Right now, the NFL seems intent upon having the draft in April exactly on the dates it is scheduled to have them, just not in Las Vegas. The general managers are not happy because essentially, as of today, Roger Goodell has ordered that all team facilities shut down until at least April 8th. So where are they going to be conducting the draft?
What's going on with the Raiders? It's time to go behind the patch, only on Cofield and Company.
Yep, we'll rip that patch off. Miles Simmons is with us, Cofield and Company, here on a Wednesday. What's up, Miles?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you?
We're good. We've moved the studio to my backyard, so it's a little breezy today. Yesterday, someone was cooking a steak a couple of yards down, so that was awesome. Smelled good.
I hope it was medium rare.
Well, we could have a discussion on this one. I think I've heard that you are send the steak back guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Steak is not cooked properly, and, you know, you're in a nice steakhouse. You're paying $45, $50 for a steak. I am absolutely sending that thing back.
I totally agree. There's no shame in that. Now, of course, I guess people worry about the chef getting all pissed off, but, like, hey, if you're, like you said, if you're paying $45 plus for a steak, cook it correctly. Please get the job done on that front. I had this discussion earlier with the lady friend. We were going to get takeout. I was going to go down the chain route. I'm a decent-sized fan of Outback. I think they do a solid job. If I want my steak medium rare, I have to get it, like, super rare, don't I, as takeout?
That's a good question. Yeah, you probably do, because by the time it rests on the way home, then it's probably going to be, you know, cooked more. But at the same time, Steve, you know, you got to support your local business. You know, you are a Vegas guy. You know, you're on the radio here. You got to support your local businesses.
So Outback, no chance.
As much as I love Outback, it ain't the local business. I love the local businesses during this time, man. I'm going to shame you a little bit.
Okay, I like the shaming. I'll have to find someone who can do a steak.
Local steakhouses?
Yeah, there's a few. If someone wants to tweet at us, give me some local options. But, that was a question. I'll give you a little viewing tip. I don't know how much TV you're watching. You're a smart guy. You're probably reading books. Whatever. if you like cooking shows, or more like investigative, kind of explorative food shows, David Chang does a great show called Ugly Delicious, and in season two, they do a whole thing on the steak. And you sound like a steak guy. It's freaking fascinating, because there's a whole, like you came out saying, medium rare. There's a whole judgment process that the world has. If you don't get the steak cooked the right way, then you're a dirtbag.
Yes, it's absolutely true. I am not. I have heard of that, and people have told me to watch it, and now that you have, I'm absolutely going to have to watch it now. What else do I have to do?
Exactly. Ugly Delicious, Season 2, Steak, David Chang. It's very good.
The Final Table is also a very good one on Netflix. Very good cooking show.
Okay.
That's actually a cooking show, though, right?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is more like Bourdain, where he travels the world and discusses food. He tries a lot of food as well. All right, let's get into the Raiders, but more specifically, the NFL draft. I don't know if you could hear the soundbite on the way back, but Adam Schefter talking about now a pushback from GMs against the NFL. What are you hearing on this in terms of having the draft on April 23rd and, you know, talking to team personnel? Have you heard the same thing where they're like, yeah, this is not cool. We don't want to do the draft like this, kind of half-assed, where, you know, it's already an inexact science. How are we going to do this, you know, not doing it the old way?
Yeah, you know, it depends on who you talk to, because there are some general managers that have said, you know, I'm all right with it. You know, it's fine. You can continue to keep going with this because, look, at this point, if you haven't done the work, then it's on you, you know. And I think that there's some truth to that because there's so much work that gets done throughout the course of even the regular season because that's when scouts are on the road. They're watching games. They're going to practices. They're visiting with prospects. And you have guys behind the scenes who are doing even more research and things like that. And so if you have continuity within your general manager and your scouting staff, then you probably are going to feel at least decently comfortable watching the tape and then going off the tape when you are then going to draft people. But there are still things that need to get done. Like, there are medical reviews that need to get done. Now, guys from smaller schools, maybe you want to take a closer look at them, maybe bringing guys for top 30 visits, and they're not going to be able to do anything like that. So, yeah, I think from some general managers, Mickey Loomis has been one for the Saints that has put his name on. He says, you know, we really got to push this back. And as a society, I can understand why certain general managers would want to do that. I mean, Louisiana has been one of the hardest hit states by COVID-19. You got different places like New Jersey, California, where, yeah, they might still have some shelter-in-place type restrictions by the time the NFL draft comes around. But at this point, doesn't seem like the NFL is going to want to move it from that date starting on April 23rd. But, I mean, you guys know this. The situation is so fluid. It could change tomorrow. It could change next week. It could change in 2 weeks.
And, Miles, kind of to your point there, too, in terms of the certain states and the different lockdowns, you know, obviously you mentioned California and New Jersey. I'm really interested about this Raiders team because they're kind of in this middle position, right, where they're moving. They're going to Las Vegas. They don't really have a spot back in California. Their facility's not built out here, out in Henderson. So what are the Raiders going to do in the situation? Because they seem to be one of the teams that's in a unique spot where they don't really have, it seems like, anywhere to go.
Right. Well, as of right now, they have still been using their Alameda facility, and they're planning on doing that through the duration of the off-season program until maybe minicamp in June, and that is when they were scheduled to then probably come to Las Vegas and use their new facility in Henderson for a mandatory minicamp. Now, obviously, all of that has just been thrown sort of into disarray. First of all, you know, the offseason programs weren't going to start on time. That had already been delayed a week and a half ago, whenever that was, by the NFL for all teams. So that was supposed to start, I believe, April 20th, so that's not going to happen. But then I think the added element of that now is all these teams' facilities are closed anyway. So you have all the Raiders personnel that is in Alameda, California. So then in the Bay Area, they've got some of those really, really tough restrictions. So that is definitely going to put a strain on what they are able to do in terms of that. But as of right now, I mean, their headquarters really is still in Alameda. So you have to think of them almost as a California team right now, even though they are the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, it's like that old thing with the Anaheim Angels, right? They're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Right now, the Raiders are the Las Vegas Raiders of Alameda.
Raiders Insider here on ESPN Las Vegas from the Review Journal. It's Miles Simmons up with Cofield and company. All right. The most recent signing over the weekend by the Raiders was a pretty interesting one in Nelson Agholor, and immediately a lot of people went to the theme of his drops. So what's your reaction to Nelson Agholor being signed, and why did they sign him?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard not to after that guy in Philadelphia was like, what, catching kids out of a burning building. And then he says, oh, I made the catch unlike Agholor, and he's looking at the camera, you know, breaking the fourth wall or whatever.
Miles.
But I think, like,
there's actually, it doesn't cut you off, but there was another guy spotted in Philly during this whole pandemic outbreak who was wearing an Agholor jersey, and when asked why, he said he didn't want to catch the coronavirus.
That is absolutely incredible. I had not seen that. That's fantastic. But yeah, I think, look, Aguilar is an experienced receiver, right? He's a former first-round pick. He's got talent. He's never really put it all together. He's never had a season of even at least 800 yards receiving. He did catch 8 touchdowns in the season that the Eagles won the Super Bowl over the Patriots. But I think this gives him an opportunity for, A, a fresh start. You know, he's not going to have people going around the city probably here saying, I don't want to catch it, wearing his jersey. And he also is going to have a chance with, to be more of a future guy, unless the Raiders, of course, do what is expected and they pick a wide receiver at the top of the draft. I mean, obviously, the Raiders are going to pick a wide receiver at some point in the 2020 NFL draft, whenever it may be. But I think what Aguilar does is he makes it so that the Raiders don't have to draft a wide receiver at number 12 overall. You know, just in case, right? Something could happen where teams trade up. Somebody gets CeeDee Lamb. Somebody gets, Jerry Jeudy. Maybe somebody gets Ruggs. And then all of a sudden you're at 12 and you don't necessarily have the proper value you think that you should get for that pick at 12. Well, then maybe you trade down and you already can say to yourself, well, we've got a starting option at wide receiver because we already have Aguilar. So it just gives them more options, creates more flexibility. I don't necessarily expect that Aguilar is going to be a starter for them. He could be if things work out so that there's not really much of an offseason program, and whatever receiver they pick just does not necessarily have that much time to learn the full playbook and adapt to what he has to do at the highest level, that you get a veteran in there and you can plug him in and he can play a little bit to give that rookie some more time to learn. So that's pretty much why I think he's here. But I think, look, he's not going to be the last move I think Raiders going to make at the wide receiver position.
Last one. Are you surprised they haven't spent a little more money on a free agent wide receiver? I saw a lot of people raving about the Jets deal yesterday. They thought that New York got good value by signing Brashad Perriman.
No, I don't. And part of the reason why is because of the value that you can get at the wide receiver position in this draft class. And so, what I think is better and what they've kind of done is they've given themselves a short-term commitment to somebody who's a veteran who can come in, who can play a little bit. Because this free agency class of wide receivers is not all that great. I mean, Rashad Perriman is another guy who's kind of a disappointing former first-round pick. It's somebody in Robbie Anderson. He goes and signs with his former college coach, who was at Temple, Matt Rhule. Now he, of course, is with the Carolina Panthers, so that's where you see that. I just feel like the way the Raiders are set up, they're going to infuse talent from the draft at wide receiver, and they already have some guys who can play. I mean, Tyrell Williams, you hope once he's healthy that he's going to be more effective. Hunter Renfrow showed ways that he can be effective as well. So I think that they're in the right spot with wide receiver right now, and that's based on the fact that I think that they can infuse talent from the draft.
Miles, we appreciate it. Stay safe, stay busy as you can.
Yeah, guys, stay healthy too.
There you go. Miles Simmons from the Review Journal. By the way, the money discussion is sort of insane. When I'm not saying Nelson Aguilar is as good as Brashad Perriman or as good as, say, Robbie Anderson, but Aguilar's deal is for $1 million.
Yeah.
He counts $750 against the cap. Robbie Anderson just got a 2-year $20 million deal, $12 million guaranteed, and the Perriman deal, I think, is $6 million guaranteed. It's upwards of like an $8 million deal. So interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting choice. If the Raiders, but, we may look back, if the Raiders, again, are short on quality receivers, although Miles said, hey, they could still be working on things, and they probably will draft at least one receiver. It may not be with that 12th pick, but I hope we're not looking back in season one here in Vegas, and the Raiders are, all beat up in receiver again, and you're like, yeah, Renfrow's number one.
Yep. And in terms of the draft, too, you think, right, the Arizona Cardinals, they think they're seventh in the NFL draft. They just picked up a wide receiver, so then that just makes one less slot where a wide receiver can go in front of you, thus making it more viable that you trade back and you can get still that wide receiver.
Actually, Perriman might be good news for the Raiders, too, because The Jets have the pick right in front of them at 11, and a lot of people thought, hey, the Jets are going to go with one of those receivers. Maybe Jerry Jeudy is there for the Jets. Jets take him at 11. Raiders don't get him and have to go in a different direction, although super deep draft, according to the experts, When it comes to wide receivers.
I know.
Justin Watkins up in 15 minutes, our legal insider, also former public servant, served in the assembly. So we got a bunch of topics to get to with him, including the news of a positive test from one of the workers for coronavirus who is working on our brand new stadium.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.